The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. If you are watching the Things Network, we were just talking, doing a live, just talking about the 1979 version of Stephen King's Salem's Lot, the miniseries that aired way back then. I just know there's going to be a point in October that I'm going to bring some people on. We're going to talk about that. Have you ever seen that, the 1979 Salem's Lot? Because it is, I think for its time, it's one of the scariest miniseries that has ever aired. And it aired in November of 1979 on CBS. If you don't know what I'm talking about, take a look. If you've read the novel, the Stephen King novel, check this out, because it's not, it's the same but not the same, and it's well worth a watch. So I just wanted to pass that along. It's fresh in my mind. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy tonight's conversation. We're going to have a lot to talk about here, and there is a lot that we can kind of, no pun intended, talking about vampires, because this isn't a vampire show, but we have a lot to sink our teeth into here tonight. And partially, I really am looking forward to getting some input here from the comment section stuff, because my guest tonight is extraordinarily gifted, a great writer, and there is so much that I think we can learn and listen to with her. Sherilyn Carter is a psychic medium, remote viewer, and explorer of high strangeness. Having a first paranormal experience at a young age made her realize she had a unique sixth sense and was able to communicate with those on the other side. Her passion for one haunted location afforded her the opportunity to appear and consult in Chris Halton's documentary, A Haunting at Bachelor's Grove, one of the most haunted cemeteries in the Midwest. She is an experiencer, a member of MUFON and CE5. She served as a consultant for Thomas Conwell's books, They Are Here, Central U.S., UFOs, and Earthquakes and UFOs. Cheryl is an international author of 8 books, including Chosen, Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles in the U.S., and co-author of Digging into Skinwalker Ranch and Skinwalker Ranch Basin Files. She is a freelance journalist with her column, The Carter Files, Mysteries of the Unknown, in Paranormal Underground magazine, and in addition, writing for ChicagoHauntings.com, iHeart Magazine, and Mind Body Spirit Magazine. Cheryl, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Hi, glad to be here.
Oh, very glad to have you here as well. There's a lot to talk about. And once again, I'd like to invite everybody into the conversation. If you have a question for Cheryl tonight, please put it into the comments. We are streaming live on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Things Network and, of course, on AM 950 Radio. Please put your comments in there and we'll get to them. You know, there's so much that we can talk about tonight, and I think we're going to get to a lot of different things. But the one reason I wanted to bring you on tonight, Cheryl, is I wanted to talk about your book, Chosen. And that, did that just come out? Is that pretty new?
I'd say 6 weeks.
I'd call that pretty new then. I thought so. And I apologize that I'm sounding so like I'm unsure, because sometimes I will bring people on and we'll talk about their new book and they'll be like, yeah, that new book I released in 2020. And, you know, I think I know, and I clearly don't. So thank you very much for that. Cheryl, what's Chosen about?
It's about real UFO encounters and abductions.
And the fact that you're getting people to give their their story to you.
Right. And I wanted, I mean, we all hear stories about these things, but I wanted to bring the human aspect. How did these people feel? What happened to them after this event? How did their lives go on? How did they change?
Right.
You never hear that part of the story.
It's strange in a sense that a lot of times these stories are looked at as curiosities, aren't they? Opposed mm-hmm. to what you just said. When you're talking to these people about their stories and the angle that you chose, was that releasing for them in terms of someone actually finally kind of paying attention to more than just the aspect of oh, I'm, you know, I may have been abducted by something?
Well, that's what they all felt, you know, because they've gone through hypnotic regressions too, and like their lives have just really changed. And we don't ever look at it that way. We go, oh, this happened. They lived happily ever after. Well, they didn't.
No.
Nobody lives happily ever, because you are a total different person after this.
And the fact of the matter is, you know, I apologize because I had that you had sent me the book and it got lost in email, and you did send it. I just did not seem to get it, so I didn't get to read it as much as I should. Were a number of these people that you got their story from, were they did they get repeat abductions?
No, I didn't see anybody that got repeat.
They only got it once then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I mean, once is enough, isn't it?
I don't even want to do it once. That's okay.
Right. Exactly. Now, have you ever
I'll watch from behind.
Have you ever been abducted? Have you ever had any experience?
I've seen things in the sky, but they don't need to come down and visit me. That's okay.
I got to tell you, and I'll keep it quick because this isn't about me. But I did, you know, you and I were talking about spirit box sessions prior to the start of the show. And I did do one where I was reaching out to specifically trying to reach out to some kind of alien frequency. Everyone started to feel odd. It was a Facebook Live and everyone started to feel odd about it. And the box, it wasn't the Pro, the Spirit Box Pro, it's just a regular SB7. And it starts to go faster than it's supposed to. The sweep rate starts really going faster. And people start to feel ill. I start to really feel like I'm losing it. And it kills my phone. It kills my phone. I can't get it to restart. But and you know, as a psychic medium, as someone who can feel energy as you are, I'm sure you understand when you feel there's some kind of energy in the room that suddenly wasn't there before. It's almost like that there's something like in the corner just watching me.
That shouldn't be there, yeah.
That shouldn't be there. The next day, for no reason, I'm just sitting there. Like, I'm still kind of out of it a little bit, but I'm trying to get something done at home. And all of a sudden, blood just starts coming out of my nose. And I've never had it. And it's been kind of the start for me of kind of a downhill a kind of a lump in my life, to be very honest, which only now I feel like I'm starting to get out of. And I can't say, like they can in your book, I can't say that's an alien situation, but what was I asking for and what did I get? And stuff like, you know, that sort of like just like the nosebleeds and stuff like that. What's going on here? I don't know. But even on my scale, whatever that was, it has stayed with me. There isn't a day that goes by, Cheryl, that I don't think about that. And I think about that with the book that you've written about how these people must still feel about their experiences.
You could have had something interdimensional. I mean, we don't know who we talk to.
Totally. Absolutely. Totally. And you know, how did you find the people that you've interviewed for this book? Did you have a lot more stories than what you put in there, and you're just kind of figuring out which one's going
more
in?
Yeah, I don't know. I just started looking, Googling, you know, different things.
And were you Googling like alien abduction or something? Or
yeah,
okay,
I did, and I was looking at names, you know, and some of them, you know, look, you start read about the story and you go, oh, that didn't really happen, okay, you know, so you had to just kind of rule some of them out, but yeah.
How do you do that? Because I mean, because it is a very valid question and a very valid thing that you're doing. It's like, I'm sure you're looking at stuff and you're like, that doesn't really ring true. What is there any kind of like signs that you kind of see or read that you're like, that tells me that is not really what they
say
it is?
Like, you know, like somebody's story, you might see a couple paragraphs about them, then you don't see anything else, and you go, okay, if that was really true,
mm-hmm.
there'd be lots of write ups about it. A lot of people would be talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Do you have, did you have any problems with getting these people to share their story, or were they pretty okay with it?
No, they share. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think some people also keep it very close to them. So I just, you know, sometimes that's why I ask, because we did a program and a friend of mine, she shared her experience for the first time. And what happened after that was really, I felt so bad because she instantly regretted publicly sharing it.
Mm.
So do you have any thoughts on that in terms of people who are like, they don't want to share it, they think it, they're really worried about sharing it or what people think? Do you have any thoughts like on how, whether it's like, it's best to share it, or do you think that's just more of like a very personal sort of decision?
See, I think it depends on which group of people you're talking to, because there are people that are going to say, like, you're nuts.
Right.
And there's other people that are going to understand. So you do have to be careful. You know, even when you're a paranormal investigator, you know, you have to be careful. I don't tell everybody I'm a psychic medium, because there's people that think I'm a nut too. So you got to just watch who you tell what with. How much you share with them.
Do you think it's gotten better over the past
20
years?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, the thing is, though, sadly, in my experience at least, you find people who they look at, like, paranormal, or if you have any sort of, like, alien interaction, that is cool, you know, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
But it's not cool. It's not, it's actually very frightening for people who, for anybody really, I think, if especially the alien part of it.
Yeah, you hear people say, oh, how cool, I wish I could be abducted. No, you don't.
Exactly. I mean, and I've had people, when I shared, and I'm hoping that someday they'll come on the program and talk about their experience, but they're unsure. Like you just said, they're unsure, like what like if their work listens or whatever. But
yeah,
I've had people tell me.
That's true. Yeah.
I've also had people tell me that, like, check behind your ear if there's like an incision, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, wow, that's really incredible that you know, you get to that point that people are like able to tell you, like, what areas to look out for on your body of any sort of sign that something might have happened to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, I don't tell my work that I talk to spirits. You know, that wouldn't go over well.
No. And as it happens, I believe that I was fired in May from my last job because they knew what I do as a investigator and into this stuff, even though I made it my business, kind of like what you're saying, Cheryl, not to really make a thing of it, but other people knew, so they asked me about it, and I think that rubbed some people the wrong way, and I think that there's nothing, you know, as it'd be nice to be able to feel free to talk about it, but you also have to take care of yourself, don't you?
Yeah, because we had clients that might not think this is okay, so yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I find, you know, very interesting, because, like, for me, the people who do know, they sensationalized it. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's it's not good. Now, someone like yourself, if your work doesn't know, how do you keep it quiet? Because you're kind of all over the place. You're not quiet about being a part of this community, Cheryl.
I don't think they come to Facebook.
I was gonna say, do you go by a different name or something?
Because no, I don't think they look at Facebook because they never ask me.
That's incredible. It's certainly one of those weird situations where you know, you want to be able to share. You think that it's getting more accepted, and you find that there's it only takes one person. I think, Cheryl, that it can kind of ruin it for everybody in terms of
right,
people who don't
exactly.
like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I think I'm going to do, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take my first break here. And what we're going to do when we come back, if you have questions for Cheryl, put them into the chat. We've got some comments we'll read. I want to talk about how Cheryl decided to write this book. We have so much more to talk about. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Have you ever wanted to see a real Masonic lodge or visit a beautiful hotel from the 1800s? Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Charvinity, bring you a weekend of paranormal investigations in Rush City, Minnesota. Starting Friday, September 22nd at the historic Grant House and continuing into Saturday, September 23rd at the Jasper Masonic Lodge, we have a lot of options for you to join in on this event. Go to charvinity.com/event-list for full details. We have that event coming up at the Masonic Lodge. It's coming up very fast. We still have some tickets left. All the VIP tickets have sold out, but we are doing both the Grant House in Rush City and the Jasper Masonic Lodge. The Grant House is on Friday. The Masonic Lodge is on Saturday. This Masonic Lodge, no one's investigated before apart from Char and myself. So it's a new territory. It's really pretty cool. You can get tickets, go to charvinity.com/event-list, check it out, see what's available. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's September 22nd and 23rd. We got some comments, Cheryl, that came through that I just want to read. First of all, Joanne says, Char should read stories out loud. Her voice is soothing. I will pass that along to her. A lot of people say that when I read that they cry. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming that means good stuff, right?
It could be good, yeah. You're moving them.
You got to look at the bright side, Cheryl. You know, the compliments are so far in between. This is a tough crowd. I'm just going to let you know that. Rick says, I've been in the paranormal for quite a while, and I remember in the beginning the fear people had concerning talking about experiences. It's comparable to UFO stories, abductions. Cheryl, have you been doing this for a little while? I don't want to make you give me a number for years or anything. I was
born this way, so yeah.
That's right. I read that actually.
Yeah, I've been doing it quite a while.
Right, and so I mean, how did you deal with it growing up, as far as you know, sharing this with other people in your life?
Well, see, at first I thought everybody could do this.
Sure.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's... You know, and then maybe I was about 12, 13, and I realized that the other kids never talked about this stuff. So, okay, keep it to yourself.
Were you disappointed that others couldn't do it? Like they're missing out?
Well, I didn't know if they couldn't do it. I just didn't hear anyone talk about it. And I was really shy, so I didn't bring up the subject.
Yeah.
Because now I'm friends with somebody that I went to grade school with, and he says, "Why didn't you tell me?"
Did he have experiences
as well?
No,
he just thought that was cool. Just thought that was cool, but I didn't know if they would think it was cool.
No, I mean, and yeah, I totally get it. And people label people, especially kids. They can be very cruel, can't they?
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of, you know. And I went to Catholic school and all that stuff.
Oh,
so, you know.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
You know,
boy,
so, you know.
if I had, I mean, because, and those are uniforms, and like I was a growing boy. I'm 6'1", and you know, when I'm in third grade, I was like, you know, 5'12", you know, and so my my blue corduroy pants would rise up because I'm growing by the day, and the other kids would be like, "Where's the flood?" And I'm like, I took, and this is how quick-witted I am. It took me like 2 weeks to figure it. I'm looking around like, is there water? honestly, and they're just like, where's the flood? I'm like, oh, I get it. Someday I'll be strong enough to push you down. So now Chosen, which is what we're talking about tonight, it is available on Amazon. Also, we put all the authors that we have on the program onto ghostboxradio.com. Look for Ghostbox Book Club. If you buy it through our link, we do get a little money back. Is there anywhere else? Do you have your own site, Cheryl, that you like people to buy from, or is Amazon good?
You can just reach me on Facebook because I have books here, and then I can send signed copies out.
So you can send signed copies. Go find Cheryl Lynn Carter, and she can help you out with that. It's great. And you designed the cover, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think it looks great. I think it's really sharp.
It's scary. Isn't it scary?
It is a little scary. It is a little scary, but that's it's a catching cover for it. Now, how was it that you decided to write this book?
Okay, here's the crazy part. So I remote viewed to Skimwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And after I did that, I got a binary download.
And what
which reminded me of the story of Rendlesham Forest.
Okay.
So then I had started, I got to write a book about all these other things. I guess that's what was telling me to write this book. Maybe that's what the download was. I don't know.
Right, right. And for those who are, that'd be a newer concept, what is a binary download? What does that mean?
It's just, binary code is just zeros and ones.
Right.
A big series of zeros and ones.
And does it show up that way for you yourself, or is this happening when you are sleeping or something like that?
I was wide awake and I could see it, but I mean, there's no way I could write it down. It was going so fast. And
right.
I don't know what it said.
It's almost like one hard drive transferring material and data to a second hard drive, right?
Yeah, really fast. Yeah.
Really fast. Wow. And so you got. And you were basically told you need to write this book.
Yeah.
Why do you think that you were told to write this book?
I said just so that people can be aware that when someone has an encounter or an abduction, that life doesn't go on as usual.
Right. Because
there's nothing usual about it anymore.
No.
And people need to understand that.
Do you know of any sort of like support groups or anything for people who have been abducted, and that maybe it's just kind of a safe place for people to be able to share their experiences or just be able to be around other like-minded people?
Well, you can join your local MUFON chapter because we have meetings every couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And people can come there and you can tell your story to each other. Nobody judges you. And you're going to meet somebody else that has a similar story.
How long have you been part of MUFON?
7 years.
Over here in Minnesota, we had on Tom Maurer, mm-hmm. who was awesome. And he's going to be speaking at one of our events in October at Ghost Stories and Beyond. And, you know, I think it's really good that, you know, at least in Minnesota, I don't think there were a lot of people that realized that there was a MUFON chapter or presence in the mm-hmm. state. And I do you feel like MUFON is getting its message out well enough, or do you think that needs to improve at all?
Well, see, that's up to each individual state, how much mm-hmm. that they're advertising, come to our meetings and stuff.
And so your area is doing all right then?
Yeah.
And what role do you play in MUFON? What do you often do when you're part of with that group?
Well, I collect all the money when people come in the door every meeting.
Oh, okay, well, you know, that works.
Yeah. but I mean that's it. I don't really. I'm studying to be a field investigator. You have to take a test. I haven't passed the test. I want to be a field investigator.
Yeah, difficult to do? And I, you know, I apologize for the really green questions, but I have no idea. It's a very interesting a very interesting subject. And MUFON, you know, I've heard of MUFON for decades, but I really don't know how it works.
Well, it's a big, thick book I have to read, and there's an online test, but it tells you like how to talk to the people that have seen something, and mm-hmm. when they tell you what you see, now you got to go back and check what the weather was at that time, what kind of star systems were out at that night, were there any satellites? They're teaching you all the stuff to look at so you can say, oh, this is what it is, this is what it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to know all those things. You wouldn't believe how many people see the Starlink go by and think that they're seeing UFOs, you know, but they do.
That's been very prevalent, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people talk about that in particular. You know, you had mentioned that, you know, seeing them from afar. Have you had that experience where you've seen an unidentified object that you really cannot explain what it is?
Several times. The first time, I saw the sky open up. People want to talk about portals. I don't know what it is. The sky opened up, perfectly blue sky. And this silver craft came out, and it's just hovering there in the air. And I don't know how. Maybe I'll watch it for like 10 minutes or something. I can't believe no one else was looking. Everything around me seemed to just go in slow motion. Maybe I'm the only one that saw it. Maybe I wasn't supposed to see it. But then it just went right back into that hole and the sky sealed up. That was crazy. I've also seen light rods in the sky. They're not solid. They look like the sun, but they're rods of light.
I don't think you can see this. Sorry, I can't. I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think. If you're seeing it looking something like this, which I know you can't see, I'm holding a picture up to the camera for Cheryl to see. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send it to you in Messenger real fast, because this mm-hmm. is what I had seen with my friend John at his house. And, you know, everyone was like, well, that's Starlink. And it isn't. It's not Starlink. It doesn't match what Starlink looks like.
I know. I put a picture on my Facebook yesterday, and with something that I saw in Utah. And somebody, people are, that's Starlink. No, it's not.
No. And so I just sent it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you saw?
Yeah.
That's what we saw as well. But we saw it at night.
Mine was in the daytime, yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
So you don't know if the sky opened. Could you see if the sky opened?
Yes, I totally saw the sky open. And they would come out, and then they would drop. And it was multiple mm-hmm. ships coming out. We never saw anything like that in our lives. And we were just talking, because he lives out in more of a rural area mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. And we're just talking about, wouldn't it be great to see something? Because the sky was so clear and beautiful. And he looks up and he's like, what on earth is that? And we're looking at it and we're just watching this circle and these ships coming out. And, and his wife was like, well, that's Starlink. And it's just like, no, what Starlink is, it looks very different from that. I understand that that's. I can understand why you think that we would think it's, you know, not Starlink, but it truly was something pretty, pretty crazy.
Starlink is a row of lights, and it's a straight row of lights. It doesn't move up and down. You know, it's a straight.
Exactly.
It's like somebody's flying a plane with a banner behind. I guess I could describe it that way.
Absolutely.
That's what it's like.
And to me, it looks like kind of a string of Christmas lights, you know, the tubular
right,
ones.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. And
the difference. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And Joanne says, it must have been scary, Greg. Honestly, it just was more like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't scared either. I go, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we saw something truly unique. Maybe what might be a little scary about it is the fact that it, so many ships were coming out.
Yeah. How many did you see?
We lost count.
Wow.
I mean, we just kept watching, and one right after the other. And the thing was, like I said, it would come out, and then the ship would drop and then move forward. And that was... You know, it's kind of like, are we being invaded? I mean, like, what's happening here?
Then they just all took off and they were gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it was incredible, and I will never forget that. And no. I'm so happy that it sounds like you saw what we saw, because it's it's hard to explain to people what this is without them saying, like we just said, it's Starlink. So no. Yeah. Now, getting back to Chosen, which is available on Amazon, or you can reach out to Cheryl Lynn Carter herself on Facebook, and you can buy it, and she'll send you a signed copy, which is always fun. Is there a story in the book that you find to be a favorite of yours?
Oh, let's see. Let's talk about Mario Woods.
Okay.
Because I don't know if everybody knows that he just recently talked to Congress about his adventure.
Yeah.
So, Mario Woods, he was stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of a NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's inside the Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And they oversee nuclear defense systems. So this Ellsworth actually had missiles there, 15 Minuteman ballistic missiles. And they had little different areas around there. So one night, it was in November, and he was outside with his partner, Michael Johnson. And they looked up in the sky, and they saw these lights. And he thought they looked kind of strange. So he got the facility lights. You could maybe think about a football stadium and the big lights that they have.
Absolutely.
So they had lights like that. And so he started flashing the lights at this object.
Mm-hmm.
And they flashed back at him. He goes, that's kind of strange. Is it a helicopter? What, somebody playing tricks on me? And he flashed them three times. They flashed back. Went back inside. He says, hey, come on outside. There's something happening out here. So Sergeant Johnson comes out and he goes, watch, I'm going to flash the lights. They flashed the lights, flashed back. He's just going, yeah, okay, whatever. So they went back inside. Yeah, and then it was gone. He goes, well, maybe it was a helicopter. Maybe they were playing games with me.
Mm-hmm.
So about 10:30, you're watching TV, and they got an emergency call. It was called a Situation 4, which means that the outer and inner alarm was activated over on November 5. Now, they were stationed at November 1.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to drive over to the gate, and they had to inspect, was it a bird over there or something? If something happened, they had to go inside, walk around, see if anybody's on the premises, and they'd have to go reset things. Everything would be cool. It's just almost a normal thing. So they get up to the gate, and all of a sudden it's lit up like it's daytime. This bright light, and there's this huge ship over November 5.
Oh, wow.
And he says, I don't know why I did this, but I crawled out of the window of the truck. He says, I didn't get out. There was some reason I didn't get out. And I reached out with my mag light, and I started flashing the ship again. And it flashed back at him. And then all of a sudden, everything inside the truck, the energy started changing. And he looked over at Sergeant Johnson, and he was just like on the steering wheel, just like the deer in the headlights. And he couldn't move. And he says, all of a sudden, he saw these two figures come out of the ship. And there was a tall one behind him. And all he could hear in his head was, do not fear, do not fear. And the sound traveled all through, he says, through every bit of my body. And then they came over to the side of the ship, and they took both of them out. And he found himself floating up into the air, and he looked down, and he could see the words on the side of the truck. And then he just passed out, and he didn't remember anything else. So then he woke up to the sound of the radio where somebody's going, what's your status? What's your status? And he goes, I don't know where we are. And he looked over at Sergeant Johnson. He's still sitting there staring ahead by the steering wheel. And he says, I don't know. And they says, well, we'll try to coordinate you. We'll find you where you are. We'll come. And he's looking around. He says, where am I? And there's this big wall next to me, and it's all covered in snow. there's no wall by November 5. Where am I? And he's looking around. He's just middle of nowhere in this wall covered in snow. So they said, don't worry. Don't worry. Help's coming. So when they pulled up there, they says, he says, did somebody go to November 5? Did somebody take care of this? And they weren't answering. And they said, we were just here to, you know, take care of a situation. He goes, what situation? Well, we can't talk. We can't talk about, we can't discuss this. So he gets back to the base and they're debriefing him and everything. And he found out that he's missing 5 hours.
Wow.
Where'd 5 hours go? And he says, well, where were we? Well, they were actually 7 miles north of November 5. And that big wall that they saw was the backside of the Newa Lake Dam. And they were sitting on a little section of the runoff. If Sergeant Johnson would have opened the driver's door, he would have fell over the ledge. They don't know how they got in there because there was hardly enough room for them to park.
Hardly enough room for them to get to that part where they were.
Yeah, and then there'd be no way to turn around. And he goes, how'd we get there?
Oh, my gosh.
So then they took him back. They're talking to him. And these men in black suits were talking to him. Mm-hmm. And they had him sign a report. And the top of the paper said UFO on it. And then they had him sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. And he's just very confused. But then he did a regression.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could remember that they took him up in the ship, that they examined him. There was actually a room that they showed him, and it had all kinds of things from Earth, but it was like things from the 70s. Box TVs, sewing machines, radios. Just, why they collected all that stuff, I don't know. So he actually had an interview with Linda Mouton Howe.
Okay.
And he says, well, you know, while he was there at the gate, before they took him up into the ship, he says, they had flashes of my life. Every part of my life flashed before me. And he says, I believe they can separate your mind or your soul from your body and analyze it to see what's going on.
Wow.
So I just thought that was very...
That,
interesting.
That's incredible. Can we do this? Because I need to take a break here. Let's do this. Let's dissect this story, no pun intended, when we get back. Also, anyone have any questions, put it in the comments or put any comments in as well. We're talking with Sherilyn Carter. We've been talking about Chosen. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have on Bigfoot researcher Robert Robinson. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through some recordings that were made of this creature from various locations. And Robert's going to do his best to let us know kind of what he thinks is being said and what the field believes these recordings mean and what these creatures might be saying. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation tomorrow, and I hope that you'll join us because it's been something that I've been kind of interested in lately. If you've been listening to me long enough, you know that I've been talking a lot about Squatch and had some very interesting interactions as of late. So I'm very interested to see what he has to say. But we having a great conversation tonight with Sherilyn Carter. We've been talking about her new book, Chosen, which is available on Amazon. If you want to, you could also check out the link on ghostboxradio.com under Ghostbox Book Club. But if you want a signed copy, go to Sherilyn Carter's Facebook page and buy the book through her, and she will send you one signed. We were just talking about one of her favorite stories from the book Chosen, and that's Mario Woods. And a couple comments have come through here. So Joanne, who Joanne said earlier about my UFO thing, she said that must have been scary. No, Joanne, what was scary is what Cheryl just read to us. Joanne asked, how did they get off the rock? And I was kind of wondering that too. Were they like pulled off? Did a helicopter come and take them?
They were. That's what I said. There was nowhere to turn around, but they right. were positioned in such a way that they could just drive out.
So they just went forward.
Yeah. So when the ship picked them up, they made sure they put them down so they could get out.
Now,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. Now, also along with that, being a military situation, did he think at all that any kind of whatever alien this was trying to get sensitive military information from him, or just kind of a luck of the draw of what they were, who they were grabbing?
They were just grabbing humans. Yeah, they weren't asking him for any military information. But, you know, why are they hanging around military installations where there's missiles? That's a good question.
It is. Now, do you?
There's a lot of that.
Exactly. And do you subscribe to the thought and theory that our government works with any aliens, or do you think that that's complete hooey?
I've heard that.
What do you think?
It's possible.
I mean, anything's possible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know people are bored every time I say it, but I really wish that there was like a gray that is like in some military cost, like uniform that works with the government. You know, I just, you know, Sergeant Gray or some, or Captain or Admiral Gray. But I mean, you got to wonder, and I hear so many, you know, we talk to so many different people, Cheryl, that the it's such a range of what people think our military and our government, our interaction with aliens, it covers the gambit. It's impossible to know, really, based on who we're talking to, whether or not that's happening or not. And I kind of wish it was. I don't know. Do you?
Well, I mean, we think that we're hoping that they are communicating with somebody, but yet we have all these questions about why are they flying over military installations where there's missiles? If they were communicating with the government, then they would already know this.
Well, that's true too.
You know, so that's kind of a, yeah.
I mean, why don't they just go? You know, and you always wonder what the purpose, like what's the purpose of all of these abductions for this race? And do you have any sense? I mean, and this is probably a very bad question, but do you have any sense on, do you feel like it's all the same type of alien race that's been doing these abductions, or you think it's a gambit of different species?
Well, with all the stories I have, they all look different. So,
right.
I think they're just like us. We all look different, and I'm, who knows? They could come from different places. We think they're just going from one place, but yeah, all these creatures that have been showing here, they all look different.
Yeah, and
they all do. They all do well. I was gonna say they all have big eyes, but in one case, they didn't have any eyes.
That's true. And that's something that I think needs to be pointed out about this excellent book, is that there's some good visual references in here, some pictures and some drawings by different people in here. This is a really...
You're looking at the children's drawings?
I'm looking at the children's drawings right now.
That's something, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Drawings by students, a witness capturing the horrified look on students' faces. And that's from the Cynthia Hind interviews.
Yeah, that was in Zimbabwe, and it was children from ages 6 to 12.
I mean, this is incredible. I mean, and, you know, I give you a lot of credit, Cheryl, for having all this visual in here, because that really helps me understand what they're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps, and it makes it not to say that I would disbelieve this, but it makes it that much more real, I think.
Yeah, because you can describe something in words, but those children's drawings, that's just And the thing is, they tried to tell the teachers what was going on, you know, before Cynthia got there. And the teachers go, there's nothing outside. You know, let's just get on with their day. Well, they can't. Everything's changed now. They can't get on with their day. And so they went home to tell their parents, and they didn't believe them either.
No.
Now, here you are. You've got this scary thing that happened to you, and you can't talk to anybody about it.
Now,
and the one girl heard that there's a couple of them that they're talking about it now, and they're like in their 20s, and her name's Emily Trim, and she actually does paintings. You see some of her paintings there in the book, and she does all these paintings of what she saw, and one of her famous paintings is a little girl with pigtails and a zipper on her mouth because she wasn't able to talk about it.
Wow.
And she says now that I'm speaking at MUFON events and stuff, she says, now the little girl doesn't have to have a zipper anymore. She's not afraid to speak.
Wow.
But I had to find that drawing. I had to find that.
Yeah, I can understand why. And, you know, I think that this is a great book for those who have had experiences and that they don't know how to articulate it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That articulate their own feelings, I guess, and that they can understand and maybe see similarities to what's happened to them as well.
Well, and you can see there's a lot of military people in this book, and, you know, big bad military people, and they were scared, you know, so it's okay to be scared.
It totally is. Now, speaking of military, Rick had a question for you. He wanted to know what's your opinion on the so-called disclosure from the government officials and or the military experiences, Air Force, Navy, pilots. And, I mean, obviously we just talked about one that's not necessarily directly to the, I think, what he is specifically talking about, like the Grouch stuff. What are your thoughts on that, Cheryl?
I believed him. I like to hear more from this guy. I really do.
Do you think, you know, they say that they're going to have more hearings. And, like, I talked to, like, Erica Lukes about it, and she's like, I don't think we're going to see any more hearings at all. She thinks that's lip service. What do you think that we're going to see more? Do you think that this isn't a closed book on this conversation?
I don't think we're going to see more either.
Yeah.
I don't think they liked all the stuff that he was saying. I think they wanted to shut him up when he was talking.
Well, and it's,
I was watching it.
And it's interesting because it felt like that when he was not in the hearings, he was like doing outside of the government hearings. He was sharing more information,
right,
a lot more.
Right.
But it certainly is. It kind of felt like that. Let's do this. Maybe we'll quiet some people down a little bit. I don't know. Cheryl, you always wonder what the true point is of anything, right?
Right.
Like what's really happening, and I never know. I never know.
Yeah. They just said, okay, we got to throw them some more breadcrumbs, okay?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, first we show them the tic tac, okay? That now we need a little more. Let's throw them some more breadcrumbs. So we're over here doing something else.
And it took years for the tic tac video to come out.
Yes.
Years.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know. And
when he was actually one of the people talking, and I wasn't very impressed with him.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? And he's showing up in more and more stuff is what I'm seeing. Now, we have just about a minute and a half left here. We're already through. Joanne has a comment. She just says telepathic. And in that story that you had talked to us about, that was what was happening to him, right? He was getting messages telepathically, right? I'm mm-hmm. understanding that correctly,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. All right. And the children got telepathic messages, yes.
Unbelievable. I mean, what an incredible situation. And once again, folks, I'm going to say it again. Definitely check out this new book and go to Amazon. And see all the other stuff that Cheryl has written, and go and if you haven't done so, check out Paranormal Underground magazine for her column, the Carter Files: Mysteries of the Unknown. There is so much to talk about. There's other things I wanted to talk about here. We didn't get the opportunity to do so because maybe for next time, Cheryl, I'd love to talk about CE5. I'd like to talk about your other books as well. And that I think that we had Tom Conwell on the program as well. And mm-hmm. he's something else. I love him. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He's great. Maybe, you know what? Maybe what we should do is have you both on at one point.
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. Sherilyn Carter, once again, the book is called Chosen. You can get it at Amazon, or you can get a signed copy if you reach out to her directly at Facebook, or go to ghostboxradio.com, Ghostbox Book Club, click the link there. Sherilyn Carter, thank you so much for joining me tonight. What a great conversation.
And if you've read my book, please do an Amazon review, because it's very important to do reviews for authors.
Absolutely. We'll see you tomorrow with Robert Robinson.